Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Thank you, Quartet. The church secretary answered the phone one morning. The voice on the other end of the line said, "I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough." She said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "I want to speak to the head hog at the trough." She said, "Sir, if you're referring to our pastor, you can call him Brother Jones, Reverend Jones, Pastor Jones, but don't you dare use such a derogatory term as the head hog at the trough." He said, "Well, I just wanted him to know that I plan on giving $50,000 this week to the church building fund." She said, "Wait just a minute, I think Porky just walked in." I want you to know we pastors appreciate those who give, no matter what they call us. And that is the subject today. We are looking at one of the most important spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. It is the gift of giving. Every Sunday when I bring you a message on various spiritual gifts for the next few weeks, I'm going to give you a definition. And today's definition of this gift goes like this. It is a spiritual ability, the gift of giving, a spiritual ability to distribute money in such a way as to bless fellow Christians and to bless the church as well. We have individuals here at Boger City Baptist Church who possess this gift. I have seen them use the gift of giving to be a blessing to others, to bless Boger City Baptist Church, and ultimately to glorify God in heaven. There's one thing that every person with the gift of giving has in common. Every church I have pastored, I've seen this gift in operation. Not every Christian has this gift. In fact, only a select few have the gift of giving, and I'll explain more about that in detail in a moment. But the one thing that every person who has the gift of giving has in common is this: God seems to be able to trust them with money. God can trust them with resources. That is not true of all Christians. There are some Christians that God simply cannot trust with a lot of money. So I want to share with you the outline that we're going to use with every gift. First of all, we're going to see the reason for the gift in the church. Why did God give it? Secondly, we'll see the recognition of the gift, some of the things that everyone with this gift has in common. And then we'll close by looking at the results of this gift in operation in the church. Why did God give the gift of giving to the church? What's the reason for it? Number one, because God's people will always be in need. In every church, large or small, regardless of denomination, regardless of geographical location, God's people always have need. Now, join me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm not going to have you go to a lot of scripture today because there isn't much. But here's one I want you to see in front of you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This whole chapter has everything to do with money. Timothy was pastoring in the city of Ephesus, and he had all kinds of issues with his members. And so he evidently wrote Paul a letter asking Paul to give him some godly advice on how to do church. And one of the things that evidently Timothy was dealing with was the money issue in the church. And Paul is going to write him in 1 Timothy 6. And he's going to inform Timothy that there's always going to be need in the church. And he said in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 17, "Command those who were rich in this present age," he evidently had some wealthy members in his congregation, "command those who were rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then I think he's going to talk here in verse 18 about those who have the gift of giving. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, ready to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's always going to be Christians, and there are in this church, who have financial need, and the gift of giving is going to be there to help meet those needs. Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at the gift of mercy, and I informed you on that Sunday morning that the gift of mercy mainly comes to the aid of those who have physical and emotional distress in their life. Giving, on the other hand, comes to the aid of those who have financial need in their life. And I don't want you to be confused about what this gift is. So let me tell you three things that the gift of giving is not. It is not tithing. Everyone is supposed to give of their tithes and offerings. That is a command in the New Testament. Just because you're a tither and a giver doesn't mean you possess the spiritual gift of giving. Tithing and giving to the Lord is something all of us should do. Secondly, benevolent giving. We have love offerings here on occasion, and you not only give to your church, but you give to maybe various other ministries outside the church. You've been giving to Haiti and other things over the years here at Boger City Baptist. Benevolent giving is not necessarily the gift of giving. Just because you may give in a benevolent way doesn't mean you necessarily possess the spiritual gift of giving mentioned in Romans 12 and verse 8. And then thirdly, giving of your time and your talents. As commendable as that is, and as much as we appreciate all of you who give of your time to this church in teaching and serving on committees and using your talents, that doesn't mean you have the gift of giving. The gift of giving is uniquely financial in nature. Not only will God's people always be in need, but God's program is always going to be in need. The work of the ministry, not just individuals in this church, many of whom have benefited from those of you who have the gift of giving, but God's program is always going to be in need. The church is going to have need after need after need. And I want to show you a man in Acts chapter 4 who had the gift of giving. Would you join me in chapter 4 of the book of Acts? And let me show you. His name was Barnabas. And Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, said something very unusual about this man named Barnabas. He was part of the early church. Right here in Acts 4, we see that he had the gift of giving. Acts chapter 4, and look with me at what it says about Brother Barnabas. Notice, if you would, verse number 33 of Acts 4, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Why is that? Because all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. These were people in the church that had the gift of giving, and they wanted to minister to those who were hurting. And look at verse number 35. They laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, and parenthetically, Luke, the writer of the book, tells you he had another spiritual gift as well. We'll see this gift next Sunday morning. It says he is called the son of encouragement, the spiritual gift of exhortation or encouragement. But he also had the gift of giving, because look what he did in verse 37. He had land, and he sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so God's people and God's program will always have need, and this gift always rises to the surface in the church to meet those needs. Now, let me just back up a moment. and commend you for giving, even if you don't have the gift of giving. I don't have the gift of giving. But every week we give our tithes and offerings, and we contribute to love offerings in this church. We give, even though we don't have the gift of giving. You're going to see in a moment some of the characteristics of the gift of giving. Not all of you have this gift, but thank God that you're faithful in giving your gifts of money to the church. Let me talk about some of the ways you can recognize this spiritual gift. Here's the first one. Now again, not all of these come out of the Word of God. Some of them do. Others I have merely observed in the four churches I have pastored. I have seen these characteristics in people with the gift. And here's one of the main reasons you'll know if you've got the spiritual gift of giving. It is common in everyone I have ever seen with this gift. And here it is. People with the gift of giving make wise purchases and investments with their money. They spend wisely, they purchase wisely, and they make investments with their money that are wise as well. I have never met a person with the gift of giving who squandered their own money. God has given them a sense of wisdom on how to invest. In fact, if you look at Romans 12, verse 8 again, or if you're not there, just let me quote it again. Paul said, if you've got the gift of giving, Romans 12, 8, give, he said, with liberality. Be a liberal giver. In fact, that's what it says over in 1 Corinthians. God loves a liberal or cheerful giver. That may be the only liberalism God appreciates. Amen? He is a liberal giver. Don't squander your money. Invest it. Lay up treasures in the kingdom of heaven. But God says if you've got the gift of giving, give liberally. Do you know why anyone with the gift of giving can give liberally or largely? It's because they've saved up money. They have invested well, and they are able, they're capable to give liberally. Barnabas had done that. He had made wise investments with his money. He had bought land, and when the time came for the church to have a need, he was right there to meet the need in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Here's another trait of someone with the gift of giving. They never give with an ulterior motive. Let me give you some ulterior motives that some people may give with. Not a person with the gift of giving. They don't give with any of these three ulterior motives. Here's one ulterior motive. I have been so blessed financially, someone may say, that I better give some to God or He's going to take away what I have. That's an ulterior motive. You're bargaining with God. God, you bless me, so I'm going to minister and bless other people with my money so that you don't take away what you've given me. That is not the ulterior motive of anyone with the gift of giving. Number two, they give. Nobody with the gift of giving gives like this, but some people give to salve their own conscience. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, they may have made their money the wrong way. We call it ill-gotten gain. And so, if they made their money the wrong way, they want to give God back some of that money so that He will overlook the fact that their money was made in the wrong way. Nobody with the gift of giving is going to make their money as ill-gotten gain. I remember back in the late 1950s, and this story's a little fuzzy in my mind, but I remember most of it enough to share it with you today as an illustration. There was somebody who was enamored with Billy Graham's ministry when he first got started, appreciated his preaching, and wanted to make a donation to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. But this person had mob connections. The money that he was going to give to the Graham organization was ill-gotten gain. And Billy Graham heard about it and refused to receive the gift. Anybody with the gift of giving is going to make sure that their giving is pure and the money was made lawfully and it was made above board. Now, can I just stop here for a moment and say this to you? If you've ever wondered where I stood on the lottery, you won't have to wonder after I make this statement. If you play the lottery, which you shouldn't, it's gambling. and God condemns it. I can preach a whole sermon on that one subject. But if you make some money off the lottery, I beg you, don't come with that gift and give it to Boger City Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you something. I'll die on that hill. I don't want that money. That is ill-gotten gain. Anyone with the gift of giving is going to give from a pure heart and with a pure motive. Here's a third reason why some people give. It is the wrong motivation for giving. I'm going to give so that I can get money back from God in return. God tells us in His Word that when we give, He always blesses us in return, not always monetarily, sometimes with a solid family life, with good health. There's all kinds of ways God can give back to you. Jesus said, if you give, you will receive, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God heap into your bosom. That is exactly what the Word of God teaches. But anyone with the gift of giving, he is not going to give money so that God will return it to them. That is not their motive in giving. All we hear about today from the charismatics is give and plant your seed so God will give you a 50 or 100% increase. God never promises that when you give money, He's going to heap money back on top of your head. He did say He would return blessings upon you, but it may not always be monetarily. And so these three ulterior motives are not the motive for anyone with the gift of giving sharing their resources. Now, I want you to join me in Matthew chapter 6 for a moment, and let me read with you verses 1 through 4. Here's the first sign of somebody with the gift. You can recognize them. They make wise purchases and investments with their money. Number 2, somebody with the gift of giving will never give with an ulterior motive. Number 3, and boy, is this a common trait of everyone that I have ever known in every church I have ever pastored with the gift of giving. They absolutely refuse public recognition for their gift. They give, they will always do it behind the scenes. They give, they will always do it under the radar. They don't want any public recognition for what they have done. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 1. In condemning the Pharisees, Jesus said this, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds," that is your alms, "before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, your almsgiving, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men." No one with the gift of giving is going to bless somebody else with a gift. No one with the gift of giving is going to do something for the church and require public recognition. They want to do it behind the scenes. Now, contrast that with Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5. They came in one day, Ananias did, and he was blowing the trumpet. Did you see that just a moment ago? Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees. When they give, they sound the trumpet. We get our modern-day term, tooting your own horn, from that verse of Scripture. Ananias came in that Sunday for morning worship, tooting his own horn. And he came with money, and he laid it at Peter's feet. And he said, look, we had some property, we have sold it, and we're giving every penny of the proceeds to the church. That was a lie. Oh, they sold some property, but they didn't give everything. And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, knew that Ananias was lying. And he said, look, Ananias, whatever you made from the proceeds of the sale of the land was yours to keep. Why are you coming here and lying to God and telling us that you sold the land and you're giving all of the proceeds when in point of fact, Ananias, you're holding back some of the price of the land? And God killed him on the spot. I mean, he just died right there at the altar in a morning worship service in the early church. And so, people who have the gift of giving And I have seen this characteristic. They don't want their name in the bulletin. They don't want anybody bragging about them. They don't want anyone to know what they have done. They do it privately. Number four, here's another character trait of someone with the gift of giving. You might be sitting there today thinking, well, anyone with the gift of giving has to be wealthy. That is not always true. Not everyone with the gift of giving may be a person of great means or great financial resources. Here's what they've got in common. They've invested their money wisely and they have seen return on their money. They may not be hugely wealthy. They've just done wisely with the money God has given them. Sometimes people with the gift of giving, boy, if you looked at them, you would think they're just as middle class could be. You know why that's the case? Because a lot of people with the gift of giving, now some of them are wealthy. We've got people in churches all over this country with the gift of giving because they're wealthy and they can afford to give great gifts. But others are middle class, and here's why they have the gift of giving. Because they have made huge sacrifices with their money. They may have bought a car that cost $10,000 instead of spending $30,000 on an automobile. They may be living in a $150,000 home instead of a $400,000 home. They are so zoned in on what they can do with the money God has given them to be a blessing to the church and to individuals. They live frugally. They don't live beyond their means. They minimize their own expenditures so they can be a blessing to other people. Now, mind you, they don't live in poverty. They just live a very simplistic life so they can use that gift to be a blessing. Here's another trait of them. Boy, I've seen this in people with the gift of giving. They are not motivated by begging or sympathy. When they give, they're not motivated by somebody standing and crying or begging or using the sympathy card. People with this gift never can be coerced to give. That is not how they're going to respond. They're not moved by tears. They're not moved by pressure. I have seen a lot of people who don't have the gift of giving who are motivated by tears and pressure and sympathy, but not someone with the gift of giving. Let me tell you what motivates someone with the gift of giving to give. God, the Holy Spirit, tells them where to give, when to give, and to whom to give. These people are walking with God and listening to the Holy Spirit. They know they've got the gift of giving. They know they're able to give, but they listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if God doesn't tell them to give to something, no amount of begging or coercion is going to faze them. Here's another trait. They delight in knowing their gift to an individual or to the church was an answer to prayer. I had somebody in this church with the gift of giving come up to me recently, and this person was a blessing to another person here in this church. And he said, "You will never know what it does for me when I can be a blessing in giving to somebody else, and I know that my gift was a specific answer to the prayer of the person I gave to." That just works them up. I'm telling you, somebody with the gift of giving, they know they can do it, they do it, and they know that God used them as an answer to prayer. What a blessing. Well, people with the gift of giving, they pray hard about when to give and where to give and to whom to give. How many times I have had people in the four churches I have pastored who will come up to me with the gift of giving, and they'll put money in my hands as the pastor of the church. And here's what they'll say, "Bill, so-and-so has a need. I've heard about it. They need this gift. I want you to be the middleman. I want you to take this money and give it to this person. But don't you dare tell them who gave it. I'm trusting you as the pastor. You get the gift to them. Don't let them know who did the giving. I want to be absolutely anonymous." And you know, the Word of God says, "Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing." Did you know that verse is in the Word of God? And people with the gift of giving, they don't want anyone to know. They want God to receive all the glory. And so I'll take the money to that individual. It's happened in all four churches. They may have needed a bill paid or food bought or shoes for their children or their car repaired, and I will lay that money in their hand, and they will shout and they will cry and they will praise God. It was an answer to prayer. Let me close with this principle. What are the results of this gift being used in the local church? Well, first of all, the possessor of the gift is blessed. If you've got the gift of giving, and you know that your gift to someone was an immediate, direct result of answered prayer, and you were the one God used to answer the prayer of the recipient, you're going to get a blessing. First of all, you're going to get a blessing right here on this earth. Because you see, God is going to bless you. And you find out if you got the gift of giving, when you put that money, maybe through a middleman like the pastor or someone else, you put that money in the hand of the person in great need, you find out that the words of Jesus are true. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The one man in a church in Alabama that I pastored down at Clearview in Birmingham who had this gift came up to me one day, and he met the need of one of our rather poor members in the church. He was really having financial distress. And he said to me, and I quote, he said, "It is the greatest joy and thrill in my life to take what God has given me and put it in the hands of someone with great need." Now, let me tell you what the promise is for the gift of giving. Not only will that gift be blessed by God, and not only will the giver have blessings on earth, you know, God promises they'll have blessings in heaven. They're going to receive a crown in heaven for using their gift. I have told you, I will tell you again, here's how you get a crown in heaven. Here's how you get a reward. Find your gift and use it for the glory of God. There's one more verse I want you to see, and this one really needs to be seen in front of you rather than me merely quote it. Would you join me in Philippians 4? And let me show you what many of the people in the church at Philippi did for Paul in his ministry. They got together and they took up a love offering. Paul was rather poor at various times in his ministry. Paul said, "I have been with, I have been without. I have abounded, I have been abased. I've had money. There's been times when I didn't have two nickels to rub together," he said. He said, "I have learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." Look what he said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. "Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid," that is financial gifts, "once and again for my needs. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all, and I'm abounding. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you." That's a love offering. "A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And he went on to say, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Jesus Christ." You know that God has a book of remembrance in heaven? The book of Malachi says God has a book, a ledger book of remembrance in heaven. And when you give, God records it. And one day when you stand in front of the Lord, He's going to know that. He's going to remember that in your presence. So not only is the possessor of the gift of giving blessed, but the person who receives the gift is going to be blessed. I'll bet you there's been some of you here in this congregation who've been on the receiving end of somebody with the gift of giving. I have. I was a poor college student. I was a poor seminary student. There were literally times in seminary when I could only eat one meal a day because I just didn't have the money to have three meals a day. I was spending money on books and tuition and other things, rent. And invariably, when I needed it most, somebody back here mailed a check to Fort Worth, Texas, to meet my needs. Boy, what a blessing. God is going to bless people with the gift of giving when they use their gift, just as He's going to bless you when you use your spiritual gift. But let me tell you where I failed a number of times and still have a problem. Some of you may have a problem in this regard too. Pride gets in the way and you have a problem receiving. Is that true of some of you? Yeah. Happened to me a few times. There were times when I really had an issue with someone putting money in my hand or mailing me a check when I needed it most because pride got in the way. I learned a real lesson a number of years ago, early on in ministry. When a man mailed me a check, I had a need, so I shouldn't have resisted taking the money. It was a direct answer to my prayer. I had been on my knees asking God to help me with a financial need, and there it was in the mail one day. And I called him, and I said, "Brother, I can't take this." It was a huge check. It was going to cover the need and then some. I said, I just can't do it. I'm going to mail the check back to you." And he said two things to me that I have never forgotten. He said, "First of all, Pastor," he said, "I hesitate to rebuke you." He said, "You're my spiritual leader." But he said, "This is a pride issue. Pride has crept in and is keeping you from wanting to receive this gift." But here's what he said that was even more compelling than that. Let me just quote. He said this. He said, "I have the spiritual gift of giving. I was new in ministry. I didn't know what spiritual gifts were. I had never done a study on it. He was far superior to me in his biblical knowledge. And he said, God has given me the spiritual gift of giving. And he said, God has led me, no question about it. He said, I pray about where I give and when I give and to whom I give. And God's told me to give you this gift." He said, "Don't you dare deprive me of the opportunity to use my spiritual gift." He said, "If you mail that check back to me, you are depriving me of my opportunity to use my gift, and furthermore, I want a full reward in heaven. Don't you deprive me of that." I have never gotten over that. I have never forgotten it. It changed my outlook. So if you've been the recipient of someone with the gift of giving, receive it graciously. Thank God for it, and pray for God to bless the giver. Thank God for the people in this church who have that gift. Thank God for your faithfulness in giving. Bow your heads for just a moment. Every head.